I'm Ken Apsuck, and this is Daily Thrones, a quick look at the world of Ice and Fire here on Anchor, an Apple Podcast, Google Play, and now Stitcher. And guys, gals, people, humans, orcs, whoever's listening, let's talk about Season 7 of Game of Thrones for a moment. We are looking a lot towards episodes in Season 8. Season 8 is coming. We are excited for it. Yes, we get it. We've been talking a lot about it, and there's things I want to talk about that still. The cold open. Eric Monroe had a great call yesterday about the cold open of Season 8. Could it potentially show the war already over? We have some thoughts on that. But I was talking with some friends last night after a show I was on, and the conversation of Benioff and Weiss going to Star Wars and all that kind of stuff, and we've talked enough about Star Wars here on Daily Thrones this week, but a couple of folks actually there were big fans of Game of Thrones, and you hear that, oh, I'm a big fan of Game of Thrones, and they just really didn't like Season 7, and a lot of people didn't like Season 7. Now, I actually kind of love Season 7. But I can admit some of the mistakes and faults. In fact, some of the reasons I'm not 100% thrilled that Benioff and Weiss are moving to Star Wars is because some of the things they've done in the later seasons of Game of Thrones. Just the way they've handled some of the more controversial moments and kind of a sense of being tone deaf to the rest of us having questions or thoughts about it. But as it relates to Season 7 and the plots and the stories and the characters and how fast it moves, I think it's time for me to take a real good look at Season 7. And maybe you guys can start taking that look with me, episode by episode. We got 7 to get through. So I'll be doing that soon. Not on a set schedule yet of when I will, but you'll know here on Daily Thrones where I'm going to watch each episode. Take a look at it and see now with time past. Season 7 is in our rearview mirror. Are there things that I like less than when I first saw the episodes? Are there things I have more problems with? I find it weird because I have a tendency I just love what I'm seeing. And I've said it before, and I will stand by this, that, hey, anything in the 80s, Game of Thrones at its worst, surpasses it. But that doesn't mean it should be immune from criticism, problems, and plots. So if you guys want to call in here, and I can post the calls when they're appropriate, or even now, we can dive on in before I start rewatching the show. Let me know what were some of your bigger problems with Season 7 of Game of Thrones, specifically Season 7. Was it the handling of characters, the time jumps, characters' choices being different than what we had come to expect. And what some of the people were talking to me last night when I was hanging out after the show, Game of Thrones is built on going against tropes, going against certain things, and Season 7 just had a lot of the classic fantasy tropes that we maybe don't like, or maybe not that we don't like, but Game of Thrones has gone out of their way to not follow those tropes. And that, again, going back to what, Benioff and Weiss at the head of this. Now, granted, there's a lot of people working on the show with them, so the blame doesn't fall on them, if there's blame at all. But it's just food for thought. I'm always pretty positive, and I'm going to tell you now, I'm probably going to come down on the positive side, even if I have big issues. But I just want to be honest with myself as a fan, because I hear it so many times. Am I just tuning out? Am I just enjoying what I'm seeing, eating a big piece of cake and not worried about the health problems? Let's go on that journey. We're going to rewatch Season 7 here on Daily Thrones.
Hey, Ken, Kevin Ross. I happen to agree with Eric about showing the destruction of the Night King. It falls in line with what I'm saying about showing past events with Bran, because we have to justify to the audience the destruction of King's Landing. And here's why. I take you back to the Citadel and Cersei. From the show's perspective, we're having a show trial to essentially dethrone the queen and impose a religious order. All of the nobles in the area and several other smaller city-states gather in a single location, and a wildfire terrorist attack has taken place. But from the audience's perspective, we understand Cersei's pain. We understand exactly what has happened and what has led her all the way up to destroying the Citadel and all of her enemies. The show has to justify to people why we are going to potentially murder up to 1 million people. That's why Eric and I are not so far off.
So yesterday here on Daily Thrones, our regular contributor Eric Monroe called in with a great idea, a great thought, a great question about the beginning of Season 8. I posted a response to it, but I've been thinking more about it. And then Kevin from Three Cocktail Questions has this idea you just heard with his call about, maybe we need to see what the Night King has done. We need to have a justification. He talked about Cersei and the Sept of Baelor and that kind of stuff there. And it's interesting. So what Eric had put up there, if you didn't hear it yesterday, was this idea of, like, what if Season 8 begins with the aftermath of the war, and then we build up to the context? And I think there's a lot of different ways to interpret that, and I think I went a different direction than maybe even Eric was explaining. Maybe we see the ending of the entire series is actually the opening of Season 8, and we work our way back to that point. And I think about it, Eric, it actually stuck with me today. I like that, and I like sticking to what you're saying there. What Kevin and I are thinking is maybe do we see why? Does this create? He's talking about creating a need to justify to the audience why the Night King is bad, why what's going to happen is bad, and different kind of aftermaths. But going to what you were saying, Eric, I'm thinking more about it. I would be intrigued if we see the world post the destruction of the Night King, and then we work our way back to that, or do we see it and build from there? I'd love to hear more of your guys' thoughts on this kind of trippy opening and what we could get out of that. We're looking back towards Season 7. We're still looking towards Season 8 here. In fact, I think Eric's got another great call about something we may or may not see in Season 8.
Hey, Ken. So thinking about Season 8 and prophecies and all that, and my question for you is, do you think Lightbringer will be revealed in Season 8? Now, it's only been talked about on the show one time by Melisandre back in Season 2, but, it was mentioned, so it's definitely something that's part of the show. But do you think we will see what it is or who it is? You know, of course, it's known as the Red Sword of Heroes, but I've always contended that Lightbringer does not have to be a sword. I think a dragon could be Lightbringer. I think a person, Daenerys, could be Lightbringer. Do you think that will be revealed in Season 8?
Ah, symbols, prophecies. Predictions. Game of Thrones is home to so many wonderful thoughts and theories and speculations and signs of prophesized heroes, and Lightbringer is definitely one of those. And it is, as Eric said, mentioned on the show, which is key, because sometimes there are things that are from the original Song of Ice and Fire story, from the books, that are so big and so important, but they don't move over to the show. They don't actually appear on the show, but we still kind of consider them true. The Valonqar prophecy, the prophecy of Cersei's death, is a prime example, perhaps the greatest one, because we talk about it, and I think what that prophecy is about Cersei's death will be answered or fulfilled in the show. But again, that word, the Valonqar, never been mentioned on the show. Lightbringer has, just enough, and we've seen it. We've seen Stannis pull the sword out of the sand, what he thought was Lightbringer, what Melisandre led him to believe was Lightbringer. So to Eric's question about will it be revealed on the show, will it come back, will it factor in, I hope so. That, when we were talking about those little resolutions that we need, is one I think I overlooked. I want to know what this all means. And the prophecy of Azor Ahai reborn, prophecy that is on the show in a roundabout way, sometimes referred to in the prince or princess that was promised. It's handled a little slightly different on the show for me versus the book, but I think it all is generally the same. And I think if you got this, Jon Snow learning about who he is and learning more about some of the signs through that birth, and learning about the signs that Dany has that kind of syncs up to the prophecy, it could come down to something like Lightbringer or what is considered Lightbringer. And I agree with Eric. I don't necessarily think it is a sword. We saw Stannis with the flaming sword, but we've also seen Barrack with the flaming sword, so who's to say, if someone shows up or Jon Snow suddenly has a flaming sword, and he's like, oh, this is the sword that's prophesized. I think it would be easier to toss that aside. I do believe that as the prophecy is fulfilled or not, we will learn some of these answers. And I want it. I want Lightbringer in. I would still kind of like it to be an actual sword. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Jon Snow with a flaming sword is not a bad visual. Daenerys Targaryen with a flaming sword, not a bad visual. But yeah, could it be a dragon? Could it be something else? I want that answer. I think it's an answer. I'm fine with a lot of things not being answered, but I want the prophecy of Azor Ahai to be answered. And I want to know what actually means what when you're breaking down the prophecy.